Everyone, and welcome to Oh, a Podcast, the podcast about playing games and making games, brought to you by O-Rock Studios. I'm Paul Franzen, the head boy of O-Rock.
And I'm Michael Gray. I also work for O-Rock.
Hey, Michael, how's it going?
I guess it's going well. It's been a long time since our last podcast. I have, like, actual video game news to talk about.
Oh, I'm so excited. Yes, I believe I know what's coming, and I'm excited to hear you talk about it.
Yeah, after several months of, well, what have you been doing this month? Nothing. Now I'm finally done with Nancy Drew Midnight in Salem, so that has stopped sucking up all of my free time.
I thought you were about to say that you finished developing Nancy Drew Midnight in Salem, which that would be a big shock to me, actually.
I did not actually develop that game. I managed to test it, I did not develop it. Yeah, that was a big secret I had to keep from everyone. I couldn't tell anybody that I'd heard the new voice of Nancy Drew, because I got to play basically one room.
That's so cool.
By got to play, I mean I got to see somebody else play it. but I was there. Yeah, I didn't physically get to play the game myself.
Oh. Wow, that's a weird test.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't know. It seems difficult. How do you do things with testing? I think normally with us, you just send them the entire game. But it's how do you test...
Yeah.
If you want somebody just to test out one particular puzzle room or, one particular section.
I guess, I don't know, I've never really thought to do testing that way. I remember with Cat President 1, I sort of did that in that I assigned different people different pathways just because I figured no one would be able to or want to test all six pathways in like a week and a half or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never done testing where, like, can you just check out this one puzzle? So, was it like a Let's Play video that you watched or something like that?
Oh, no, the person was playing live. I could talk to the person who was playing the game.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow, that's so interesting.
They were doing it through Zoom, I believe.
Wow. Wow, you were doing Zoom, like, a couple months before it was cool then.
I know, everybody's using Zoom now, because we're still using Skype, and I don't quite understand why everybody switched from Skype to Zoom. It seems to, like... do the same thing. I guess maybe Zoom just works better with phones, maybe?
I think it also works better with multiple people. Like, you can have, 50, 100 people in a Zoom call at once. I don't know if that works with Skype as well.
It feels like Skype should have been able to fix the bug.
It feels like Skype, man, Skype could have been poised to be, like, taking over the world right now, and they are not. It's just wild. Like, it feels like we are the last two people who use Skype for anything.
I know, because I feel like Zoom was specifically done for, like, business purposes.
Right.
But now everybody's just using it for casual purposes.
Yeah, I think so. The one issue would be for us is that, unless this has changed, to my understanding, you need to have a paid account with Zoom if you want to have a call that's more than 40 minutes long.
And
that would be a very short podcast, even by our standards.
But yeah, so that's how I managed to test the Nancy Drew game was through Zoom.
Oh, that's so interesting.
They basically just, like, sent me the link, and then I was able to watch it, which is interesting, because we tried setting up a Zoom with, I don't want to insult any family members here, but they had a very, very hard time figuring out how to get Zoom to work. So, but, like, me doing it with the business version was A-okay. All I had to do was have the app installed on my phone. I didn't have to do anything special. I didn't have to set up an account. I think that's part of the reason. Do you have to have an account to work Skype?
Yeah, you do. I thought you needed an account for Zoom, too. I guess not. That's interesting.
I don't think I had an account. I don't know. Anyway.
It's really just like you send someone a link, and then they click on it, and then they're in the Zoom call. Like, that, they do make it incredibly simple, which is...
Yeah. That's great.
And Zoom is not sponsoring this podcast, by the way. I just think it works pretty well.
This podcast is sponsored by Discord and Zoom and all the other people that do
AOL Instant Messenger
that we do not use.
literally the last two people using Skype. So you had a game release this month.
Oh, yeah. So that's one of the many things I guess we could talk about.
Many things. Oh, this is exciting. All right, let's hear it.
So I had a game release. Oh, you're right. It's been 2 months.
Yeah.
So I had the Kidnap Prom Queen was released, and they released it on the same day as another game, which I'm not a huge fan of, but I guess I can't complain.
Right.
Let me check what that other game is. The Aegeus Saga. Oh, no. Oh, that was a Steam release. Oh, okay. Mm. I guess that makes sense. They released two games on the same day then. Is there a reason video games generally get released on Tuesdays?
Do they?
I thought that was it. I thought it's movies Fridays and then video games Tuesdays.
Maybe that's how actual companies do it. I've never done it specifically on a Tuesday.
Oh, really? Because
I don't think so. Did I?
I mean, I could check. I'm pretty sure. Video games...
They're all listed on Steam.
Tuesdays. Let's check. Why are video games typically released on Tuesdays? Yeah, it's a thing. That's a thing.
Wow. Whoops. Is it bad that I haven't been doing that? Uh-oh.
I don't know.
Is that why nobody bought Francie Drew?
Is that why it was released on a Wednesday? And then they say no, no, no.
Oh my gosh, Cat President was released on a Tuesday. Oh man, I think you're onto something.
That could be it. So yeah. Also, Francie Drew. Disorganized. Yeah. We could talk about Francie Drew. So I live streamed Francie
Drew. Oh my gosh,
Drew.
Francie Drew was also released on a Tuesday. What is happening?
Did you do that on purpose or no?
No!
This is new information to you.
This is new information to me. This is insane. All right, sorry.
And you just happened to release a bunch of games on Tuesday.
Apparently.
Without knowing that's a trend.
Yes. I'm trying to remember if there was any particular reason why I picked those dates. I don't think so. I would have thought I would have released closer to the weekend, to be honest. I don't know why I did it on Tuesday.
Yeah,
oh, well.
Friday or something, because everybody would be able to play it.
Yeah, people would want to see it's out. Oh, there's a hot new game. I'm going to get it to play this weekend.
Yeah.
Apparently it's Tuesday, and apparently I do that without... Anyway, so Kidnap Prom Queen came out, and even though some other dumb game came out, yours is just killing it in sales, I hope.
I have no idea. I'll wait to see what the sales report is. I think they give us a month back. Yeah, it's one of the things I wish. I could see how many copies a game sold, at any time. But I guess it's way easier on the publishers just to send you a message every month. I believe it's gotten more reviews than, 1 Minute Mysteries.
Okay.
But the reviews have not been as kind.
Oh.
So, the main complaint is that the game is too generic, and I'm like, that doesn't really bother me. I felt like some of the stuff I did wasn't generic, but I guess I don't know. Come on, I'm trying to... So it looks like Kidnap Prom Queen, 23 ratings on the Google Play Store, average of 3.2, and one minute Mysteries, which has been out for a while. It's been out for, 6 months or whenever?
Yeah.
Or over a year, actually. So it's only gotten, 20 ratings.
Oh, wow. Okay, so this one's already gotten more, and it's only been out, a month?
Yeah, it's been less than a month.
Than a month, okay.
Yeah, it hasn't even been a full month yet.
Wow.
It's already gotten more ratings. Three more voting ratings, but 1 Minute Mysteries has an average rating of 3.7, and Kidnap Prom Queen has the average rating of 3.2.
That's interesting. I wonder what made Kidnapped Prom Queen more enticing to people.
I'm not sure. And so what somebody messaged me, I actually got this email forwarded to me, was that the way the game sets up, once you beat a pathway, it automatically throws you back to the start of the game, so you can do another pathway. You're supposed to play all three pathways of the game in order to unlock the secret ending. And so somebody messaged me saying, it's like, no, at the end of the game, you should give people a chance to either end the game with like the finish or end command, or give them the choice to go back and replay again. Because apparently on some platforms, you actually have to finish the game. You have to hit the finish. You have to hit the end before they let you leave a review. I don't know
interesting.
I don't know which platforms those are. So...
Huh, so that could actually... You'd be limiting the number of reviews you get on...
Yeah, because all the people who just played one pathway and then just stopped, rather than doing the other two pathways, I think that could be part of the problem, so... I sent in an update to the game to change that.
Oh, I'll have to see if I got that update. So I downloaded it. I haven't played it yet.
I don't know how the updates work. Ooh. Just checking, like, Google result number 10, Reddit. It's, I highly recommend reading The Kidnapped Prom Queen. That's the title of that. Somebody made a Reddit post recommending my game.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
I don't use Reddit because I'm still on Skype, but...
oh, yeah, look at it. There it is. I highly recommend reading The Kidnapped Prom Queen. Wow, good for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and there's someone here talking about how great the puzzle is at the end, too.
Oh, sweet. I love that thing at the end. Yeah. Because I had
There's a butt-kicking puzzle at the end if you go through all three paths.
That was, it was so much fun to do, and I thought nobody was ever going to pick up on it, so it's a very meta puzzle, I think I'll put it that way, rather than spoil it for everyone. And then the ending was just cool, because I tried to come up with different explanations for the ending, so, I don't know how far I can go without going spoilers. But
yeah, don't spoil it. I haven't played it yet, like I said.
Yeah, this game is similar to 999, I guess. 9 hours, 9 persons, 9 right. doors. And so I didn't want to do their storyline of time travel, so I came up with a different variation of how the culprit was basically able to set all this up in 2 seconds.
okay.
So, yeah. It's the secret ending. So, yeah, I guess that's sort of... Because I thought it was cool. That's why I wanted people to play it, I guess. That's why I wanted that to be, like, the official end. But, like I said, now I've changed it so people can review it more quickly / more often.
That's awesome.
But getting back to, I guess, the complaint that some of the characters are generic. I guess some of them are. We've got the angry vice principal character, and we've also got... Gosh, the guy who likes football, the football captain who likes sports and is kind of dumb. I guess that's kind of a generic character. But you know, some of the other characters, I don't know. There's the girl who's like the business leader. Like, I didn't use the term future business leaders of America, but I think that's an actual thing. In real life, is future business leaders of America. I don't feel like that's a stereotypical character you see, unlike you know. TV shows and stuff. But also girl who plays on her phone a lot. I kind of made up that personality myself. I feel like that could be something that you'd see on TV now, but maybe not so much when we were growing up.
Yeah, definitely not.
Yeah.
There's only so much you could do with a phone when we were growing up. Take a very long time to send a text message or play Snake. That was about it.
Yes. So, yeah, so that went well, and I guess we'll find out whether or not the Kidnapped Prom Queen has actually sold a lot of copies whenever I get told what the release is. I think it's selling better than the game that's been out for a while, so that's good.
Well, how does it compare to the Pride and Prejudice game?
Oh my gosh, let's take a look at that.
So I feel like that one was pretty successful.
That one was super successful.
Yeah.
It's still, like, selling lots of copies. So let's see how many ratings it's had.
168.
Okay. So what were the other ones? 23 and 20?
Are the ratings still around the same? I mean, it's a little higher. It's 3.7. That's interesting.
Interesting. Yeah.
Sorry, I got just distracted. It's showing me... Other games by Hosted Games on the right. One of them is called the Parenting Simulator.
Oh,
about
man.
About raising a child from birth to adulthood.
That game seems like it's long and complicated. I feel like that's the sort of game that the the fan base of hosted games really likes, is they really like these long immersive games. And I'm like, I kind of prefer the start to finish games that follow a set pathway.
Sure.
So I guess I just have a different style than what they expect.
I think I've talked before how I do occasional testing for choice of games. I'm just thinking about this because it says that this game is 189,000 words. I just worked on one that was over 1 million words.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of words. Isn't that a lot? Like, how do you write that many words? I don't even know that many words.
You just, I don't know, how many pathways are there? If you've got like 50 million pathways, then it's not so tough, I guess.
I'm just here with like my script that I've been working off and on for several months. I'm at, what, like 17,000 words. I can't even imagine. It would take me multiple lifetimes to write something that has 1 million words in it.
How many words are in Cat President? That's our longest one to date, isn't it? I don't think we're trying to do something that's longer than that. I probably shouldn't phrase it. Our longest one to date. We're not trying a longer one.
Oh, wait, I think I actually have it. Okay, here we go. It's 120,000 words.
Wow. Gosh.
And that feels like a really long game, too.
It is. It's several hours.
With all those different pathways and everything, yeah. Mm. Like, that's something I always notice in streams, that people are surprised by how long it is. I think because they half expected it to just be like a dumb joke game.
That is 100% what everybody thought, I think.
It really is. Ugh. Anyway, we were talking about Kidnap Prom Queen. We have high hopes, we have high hopes for
high hopes that it will sales. Actually be successful as opposed to the 1 Minute Mysteries. Yay!
I'm so sad that 1 Minute Mysteries wasn't as successful as you'd liked. I really liked that one.
Yeah, I wish I could have done a sequel. Same with the Francie Drew games. So
yeah. Oh man, should we talk about this for a little bit?
Yeah, that was one of the topics.
Yeah. So Michael streamed the two Francie Drew games a couple of weeks ago on his YouTube channel, and my heart was just soaring reading the live comments. Like, everyone loved the game so much. It was so nice. Everyone was so cool about it. It made me want to make another one.
But, good, I'm not the only one, I was going to say.
I don't know how to do it and not, and like have it be successful. Like, we need to make some money off of these games, you know?
Yeah. So, like, I was going to ask, have the sales for Francie Drew changed at all? Have people, like, seen the live streams and purchased the game?
I haven't checked.
I know you said that Steam is still not letting us do whatever you call it.
Oh, the trading cards, yeah.
Trading cards. I don't know if that's a benchmark for success. Like, say, oh, we got trading cards, bam, automatic sequel.
I'm still mad that we haven't gotten them for Pizza Boy yet. Ugh.
Really? Oh.
Yeah, and that game, I mean, it wasn't a huge seller either, but it definitely sold better. I guess I can see if I can find the Steam stats.
So, yeah. That was basically, I think I said on the stream, it's like, well, those were all the ideas we had for the third game. So I think I spoiled everything.
Yeah, I think I still have some text documents where you had written, like, the initial scenes for a couple games. I think there was one where we took part of that and made it the intro of
the second
Shady
game,
Midnight
Color. Yeah.
The part where she's, like, introducing who she is, because we never really explored that very much in the first game.
Mm-hmm.
And now he just works in the Lost and Found. She does not like actually a detective.
Actually, kind of like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, it's taken me a few minutes to log into Steam. I have to log in on like multiple sites and do this stupid two-factor authorization
because it doesn't trust that you're actually, you know, on Steam.
Well, I can check my last two sales reports. Sorry. This month I'm looking at, what is this, February 2020, it didn't make any money.
Aww.
March 2020, we made $2.50.
Ooh, we sold a copy. I like it.
Oh, man. I remember when I first started doing this, there was something I could check where I could see kind of live stats, and then I was sitting there refreshing it all day when the game first came out.
I remember that. Yeah. That's totally a thing.
Yeah, that's basically what I do, like, launch day, is I just sit there and hit refresh. All right, give me... Yeah, here we go. The last month. Here's what we sold. We sold 3 copies in the last month.
Oh. So the live stream, people like the game.
Yeah.
Only 3 of them bought the game.
Yeah.
Now I'm depressed.
We should never have looked this up.
We should never have gotten hopes for Steam trading cards.
Yeah. I think
sequels.
Did I read that we're allowed to share sales information now?
I didn't.
We've made $500 off of the Francie Drew and Friends collection.
Oh, wow, that's way more than I expected.
Oh, is it really? That we have, of course, split, but anyway. Oh, it's on 404 wish lists. Wow. Aren't those people buying it? The game's dirt cheap.
Yeah, isn't it $5?
Yeah, seriously. Come on, guys. You have nothing else to do right now.
That's so sad, yes.
All right. I guess I should stop yelling at people.
Now they're anyway, never going to buy the game.
I know.
They're so mad at you now.
They're all going to buy Parenting Simulator instead.
Just to make you mad.
Oh, man. You get to overcome potty training in this game?
Oh, no. That's the worst. I don't want to do that.
Well, see, I could play this game, though, and then I could feel like I've had a child and I don't need to do it in real life. Anyways, what else did you want to talk about?
I think that was... No, that wasn't it. I played through, like, 2 pathways of Cat President and sent you the notes, and I picked up on, like, 4 typos that are all my fault, so I'm sorry.
It's fine. I should have caught them, too, so...
And
it was a lot of, like, really dumb stuff. It was just, like, missing, like, parentheses and stuff. Right?
Yeah, most of them were missing parentheses,
It happens.
I thought, What was the one problem? Like, the text box was slightly larger for one screen.
I can actually explain that. I know exactly what caused that. So we have the highlighted text in the game, right? That I do sometimes. Like, I highlight important phrases or words in red.
Mm-hmm.
So a thing that I also do is that it bumps the size up a little bit, I thought, to make it a little more visible. So when the highlighted text is on 2 separate lines... the text gets big enough that it actually makes the box itself slightly larger because it's too big for the standard box size.
Oh, okay.
So it was an easy fix. I just changed how many words were highlighted, so it was only on 1 line instead of 2.
It's good, because I checked other text boxes that have, like, 3 lines of text and highlighted words, and they didn't seem to have that problem. Okay.
Oh, so, well, I thought that's what it was. Uh-oh, maybe I should go back and check to make sure I fixed it then.
No, I think your explanation makes sense.
Yeah, I'll also have to keep an eye out, because there probably are a few other lines of dialogue where there are highlighted text on multiple lines, but I'll try to keep an eye out for that. Yep, so that's good. Did you enjoy the pathways?
I did. I was really laughing at the one pathway. I don't know if we're allowed to say the names on the podcast. But,
we haven't been. I don't really know why we haven't been, but we haven't been, so no need to start now, I guess.
So, pathway number 4, then, I thought was really good.
Yes.
And then, the other pathway I did not enjoy so much. I was second
don't say
guessing.
That. We want people to buy this.
I was second guessing every single joke in that pathway. So.
No. Oh, that's not good at all.
Well, as a writer, it's a writer problem as opposed to but with the other pathway, I was very much able to just take myself out of it and enjoy it more.
Sure, yeah. Well, the one, so I just finished another one too while you were testing those two,
mm-hmm.
and this one was my absolute favorite so far. I think I'm really, really into it.
Oh man, so I can't wait to see what it's like, because I think that it's the one that they actually picked as their nominee. I feel like we have to go back and change it. No, I feel like so with pathway number 4.
Yeah,
it's a person everybody thought was going to run for president, but actually did not. And so it really makes it feel different that it's not based off a real person, kind of. That gave it a really different feel, I suppose, yeah. You would say.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's part of the reason why I enjoyed that pathway more. It's more of like a what if, whereas I think the first game people expected / wanted all of the characters to be based off real life politicians who were running.
Right.
But some of them weren't. Like, I don't think there were any dogs running for president. I could be wrong.
No, but like Thunderpaw was
clearly, yeah,
was pretty obvious. Yeah. To the point where wasn't that character's original name, what was it?
Oh, wasn't it like Drump? It was Drump, yeah.
I think it was Drump. And I shot that down.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I mean, we probably talked about this before, but that's something I always enjoy when I'm watching people's Let's Plays of Cat President, is like, they're so sure that this candidate in the game is a stand-in for this real-life candidate, and like, they always guess different candidates. That amuses me a lot, except for Thunderpaw.
Yeah. So I feel like, Frisky, no, I guess that was a real-life politician. T.J. Nibbles was basically not, the premise of him being, like, the super young politician.
Yeah.
Not really based off a particular politician, though, but that's something we're going to see more and more often now with presidential runs, is we're always going to have the one person who's like in their 30s running for president, and they never are going to win because I guess people don't want young presidents anymore. Maybe we'll have millennials running for president, or more millennials running for president, I guess, next election.
We're going to be like in our 70s, and there's still somehow going to be boomers running for president. That's what I think.
Or we'll just have legacy boomers. It'll be the same thing we saw. I'm the grandson of a president. Vote for me.
Yeah. Hey, that's in Cat President, too.
Yeah, isn't it? The legacy candidate. Yeah.
But yeah, development is going extremely well on Cat President 2. I'm on the 5th pathway right now. Just 5th and the 6th, and then we're going to see about the bonus pathway. I'm still, like, it really depends on when I'm finished with everything else, like, if the bonus pathway is going to be ready for release, or if it's going to be something, like, I include after the fact as, like, a bonus update to the game. I'm really not sure, just because we really need, this game needs to be out before the election, so if I can't finish everything before then, then that's an issue.
Yeah, I really feel like the bonus pathway should be easier to program. So I have my fingers crossed because it's done in the style of like the first game. I don't know, maybe I could go back and look at your coding, I guess, for the first game. I don't know. I don't know how much it's like the first game.
It'll be easier because I plan to use a lot of music and backgrounds from the first game instead of creating a lot of new assets for it. Because I think that just sort of makes sense.
It was supposed to be very much like the first game, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's set in the time period of the first game, or like shortly after the first game.
Yeah, all the dialogue and the, yeah.
So, I mean, I'm going to take some shortcuts like that I haven't been taking with the main game. Like, I think I've reused, like, maybe one background. I think at one point, actually, I might have even replaced that background since then. I'm not sure. and I haven't really been reusing music or anything. I've been trying really hard to have all original content for this one instead of being lazy. But for the bonus pathway, I have no problem being lazy for that.
Okay.
Since I think it just thematically makes sense.
Yeah, because it's supposed to be that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that makes sense now. Yeah.
But, yeah, we're gonna see. I also have my fingers crossed, but I also don't want to end up releasing the game in December because I was still wrapping up the bonus pathways.
Yeah, it makes sense. I was going to say, I thought the bonus pathway is, I think there's only like one new character, but I thought it would be like the first game where all the characters only have one pose, and that would save time.
Well, doesn't the one new like,
I think the
main
one new
character,
I think that character did have multiple poses. So
I have many, many pictures for that character.
Okay, well, then never mind. It's going to take you forever.
So, again, we'll see.
Yeah, how long has that been taking with the... I do like the multiple poses for characters.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely takes more time, but I agree that it makes everything look that a lot nicer. That's something I thought about Pizza Boy, too, is I think the multiple poses really, like, help us demonstrate more effort on our part. Like, it's like, you can see the work that we've put into this a little better, I think. And I think it just looks cool. I think it's like with a Pizza Boy. I remember Elizabeth had remarked that it almost looked like actual animation, which I thought was kind of cool. And just some of the poses and expressions are very, very funny.
Well, I was going to ask, because I thought that one character is just stock art, but...
Who?
I guess you could cut this out.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yes. Yeah, is still stock art, yeah.
Yeah, so it's weird. I don't think you're able to get any other pictures of the stock art characters, right?
Yeah, that's sort of a weird thing. We can't have too many recurring human characters from the first game because most of the human characters in the first game were stock art, and most of them were people I only had one picture of to begin with. So since in the sequel we're trying to do multiple poses and expressions for each human character, we can't really have these appearances unless these characters are only there for, like, one line of dialogue.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. So that's interesting. That's something we'll be able to fix going forward, is it'll be a little easier to have people come back to the game, which would be
if
cool.
If we're doing a cat precedent.
Yeah, sorry. If there is a third game, yeah, of course. I shouldn't be making the assumption that we are.
I don't know. It's very fun, so hopefully everybody will love that game.
You played that pathway. You didn't like it. Are you sick of Cat President now?
No. I think I mentioned this in my email to you. It's like, I don't know if that pudding joke makes sense.
I like the pudding joke.
I did like a random reference to Puddinhead Wilson by Mark Twain, which is a book I've never read. I don't know anything about the book besides for the fact that it has a funny name, and there's a joke about it in this game. And I'm like, no one's going to get that, because if I hadn't had to look up what the main character's name is in that book.
It's just funny to me because you referenced David Wilson, the pudding clown. And I think that's just a funny phrase in general. The speech was written by David Wilson, the pudding clown, of course.
It's written by a fictional character. Yes.
It's silly. Wait, is he actually called the pudding clown?
I don't know because I've never read the book. I just looked up what the name is, the main character in Puddinghead Wilson.
It's fine.
So, Internet Court, you finished pathway number 3. I wasn't able to look at it yet.
Made a lot of progress, I guess. Well, it's been 2 months since we recorded, so I guess that makes sense. But yeah, case number 3 is finished. Diana Gray actually did test both case number 2 and 3, and she said she loved them both. Which is really good because she's in both of them. So it would have been very upsetting if she did not like them.
That would have been very sad.
Yeah. I'm into case number 4 now. It's so weird because like Internet Court is basically what real life is right now. The whole premise of the game is that like you're trying these court cases in something that's like Skype or Zoom, and I'm pretty sure that's literally happening in real life now because you can't do them in person.
Oh man, how's the Supreme Court working?
That's a great question because they're all very old.
They're all extremely old. Yes.
Yeah. I've been thinking with Internet Court too. If that's a game we decide we end up wanting to make a sequel for, which who knows? But I'm definitely going to have to find ways to make my workflow a little more efficient. Because like it should not be taking as long as it is. it's not a totally simple game, but it's essentially just editing a bunch of video clips together. So it should not be taking me as long as it is. So. I think if we do a sequel, I'm going to have to, like, just take an afternoon and figure out where my inefficiencies are and ways I can address them. I think I also am probably going to need to actually start thinking about, like, the title screen and save, load, all that fun stuff that I always put off as far as I possibly can because I don't like doing any of it. Mm-hmm. I think I have a sketch somewhere of what the title screen might look like, so I'll have to see if I can dig that up. Because I had a brief thought about that.
I'm not sure we can do, like, poses or anything for the title screen. Do we all look different now?
Oh, gosh, I didn't even think about that. Oh, we could have all taken pictures and made it look like Phoenix Wright. It would have been really cool. Oh, too bad.
Man, I would have to shave my quarantine beard. No.
Yeah, me too. Oh.
Maybe lose a couple of pounds.
Yeah, see, again, this is another reason why I need to make this more efficient. It is absurd how different all of us already look in the time since we all recorded our footage. Well. I mean, part of it, too, is just because we're balancing two very large projects for us right now. Both Cat President 2 and Internet Court are both pretty large games compared to what we've done in the past. Like, comparing it to Pizza Boy, for example, I think that was a much smaller game.
Mm-hmm.
So, things that are bigger take longer, it turns out. Who knew? I also got excited. I've been looking for credits music for Internet Court, and it may surprise you to learn that there are not a lot of good Creative Commons music about the law.
What?
It doesn't come up very often, but I did find this cool kind of pop punk song that's called Trials and Tribulations. It is a love song, but it does prominently feature the phrase trials and tribulations, which is definitely court related.
in the name of a Phoenix Wright game, unless
yes,
I'm mistaken.
That's true, too. Are you saying we can't call it Internet Court : Trials and Tribulations?
I don't know. Does that...
Yeah. Are we having a subtitle? Do you know? Have we talked about that?
Never talked about it.
Should we? I mean, Internet Court is a pretty strong name. Maybe we don't need one. I don't know.
I guess. I remember we feel like we have to have a subtitle for Cat President 2, right? Because the first one did?
Yeah, because the first one did, yeah.
But I feel like that would probably get us into the same situation that Phoenix Wright did, where the subtitle's just a random phrase that somehow involves the law.
Okay, yeah, that's a good
Whereas,
point.
Whereas, like, we have to have a random phrase which somehow involves politics and or cats.
Yes, and it needs to be a pun, too.
Yeah, so Trials and Tribulations, and
that's
Justice for All, and...
So that seems like a pretty strong argument, then, to not have a subtitle, so we don't, like, get ourselves caught in a web later. If we do future games, which who knows? I have absolutely no idea how this game is going to sell.
Internet Court 3.
None whatsoever.
Yeah.
There are definitely a lot more FMV games. It's becoming more of a thing in the last couple years, which is very, very cool and surprising. So I don't know. Maybe it will be able to find an audience. That would be cool. No, so how do you feel about the subtitle I've been playing with for Cat President 2, Political Revolution? Does that do anything for you?
Yeah, oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
I don't know, because this game doesn't really have any sort of revolution.
That's an excellent point.
Yeah. It's weird to think, oh, that's not descriptive enough. It's like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is that the first one was just too perfect. A more perfect union, cat mm-hmm. pun, politics, and the union could be referencing the union of the main character and the heroine and the character she chooses. So it's also romance. Like, we're not going to do better than that. It was just a perfect storm of everything the game is about. I don't know how we do that a second time.
Yeah, gosh.
Unless we don't have a subtitle.
Just look for, I guess, political phrases, political catchphrases. Oh, good, there's
that.
A Wikipedia. These are
really
all terrible.
Hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, never mind. These are terrible. Yeah, like, go to the YouTube. That's not a thing anybody
what?
Says. That woman from Michigan, no.
What? I mean, yeah, because I guess, yeah, we would have to, like, really think about what the major themes of the game are if we want to try to tie it in that way. I don't know what the major themes are.
Yeah, well, yeah, gosh. Cat President 2 per... Yeah.
I forget which one, if it was the first game or the second game, but I think someone's talking about really bad political slogans, and one of the ones we came up with was a kitten in every pot, and I liked that a lot.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, well, we still got time to think about it, obviously. Anyway, should we go into listener questions?
Yeah, I guess, because I can't think of any political phrases. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fine. We talk. We can talk about it later. And if anyone's listening to this has any thoughts on a clever subtitle for Cat President 2, so we don't have to come up with one, let me know. podcast@horrorrock.com. Yeah, so listener questions. We got quite a few. One of them I even specifically emailed to you to make sure it was on your radar, because I thought it required a little bit more advanced thought.
Oh, yes, yes, let's do that one. Yeah.
This is a big one. This is probably one of the more important questions we've ever gotten. This comes from Krent on Twitter. If there was a big-budget film adaptation of Cat President, who would you want to voice the candidates / play the main humans?
So I wanted, oh gosh, I'm already forgetting which role. I wanted Al Pacino. Okay. I forget which role I wanted him as.
The heroine?
No, no. Gosh, I'd have to look up the candidates again. I'm already forgetting every single one.
Kale, DJ Nibbles, Dr. Nom Noms, Thunderpaw, Frisky, and Rover.
It was Thunderpaw. Yeah. I don't know how I forgot the that one.
I went in a somewhat similar direction for Thunderpaw. I was thinking Danny DeVito.
Okay.
Not that similar, actually, but yeah.
More serious actor, but can handle comedy. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. He has a very distinct voice, I thought, and he's good at being angry.
Yeah, that would actually work very well. It's very sad he was not cast as the lead in Detective Pikachu.
That's right. Oh, I might have actually seen the movie then. Oh, well. What were you thinking for DJ Nibbles?
I was actually Adam Sandler, and that was as far as I got, sorry.
That was as far as you got? Oh.
I don't watch enough movies to know any celebrities. I don't know who this Ryan Reynolds guy is. What has he been in? He's a popular actor, right?
Detective Pikachu, for one.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's how I know him. Okay.
I know him from Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place, a sitcom from 100 years ago, but I believe he's been in a few things since then.
Oh, yeah, Deadpool. Yeah, see, I don't watch those movies, yeah.
Yeah, so I did take a bunch of notes on actors I was thinking of. Yeah, so for Kale, I had Adam Scott from Parks and Rec, if you've ever seen that.
Nope.
He was also in one episode of Boy Meets World, if that helps. For DJ...
Adam Scott, the golfer, actor. Yeah, I've seen none of these things he's been in.
You should watch Parks and Rec. It's an extremely good show. I love that. It's one of the few shows where, like, I don't think there's not a stinker in any season. Like, every episode is good. I don't know how they did it.
I feel like, isn't that show, it's like The Office, which I've also never seen.
Yes.
And so those shows blend together in my mind.
It's The Office, but better, I think. I mean, it's a lot of the same writers, producers, I think. And I think it's a better show.
Now, he was in 4 episodes of Boy Meets World.
4 episodes, wow. He played the second bully after the first bully left. And then I believe there was an episode where the first bully came back and they fought, something like that. Yeah, he was tremendously miscast in that role, by the way. for DJ Nibbles, so you said you had Adam Sandler for DJ Nibbles. I was thinking Justin Timberlake.
I know him, he's a singer.
Yes.
What movies has he been in?
Well, he does a lot of voice acting, I believe. So he's been in the Trolls movies, I know. And I believe he played Boo Boo Bear.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, I understand that he did fantastically as Boo Boo Bear and Yogi Bear. He actually did the voice and everything. As opposed to in Trolls, where he's just doing his own voice. So looking at Justin Bieber's... Justin Timberlake's stuff... yeah, you're right. He apparently is good at voice acting. So are So we're assuming that these actors would be voice acting instead of, like, dressing up in cat costumes.
Would be very interesting. But yeah, I was picturing
because that's why I cast Al Pacino and Adam Sandler. I was like, okay, well, they can do, like, legit dramatic acting while doing funny acting at the same time. But if it's just voice acting, then that's something else. Justin has a somewhat distinctive voice. Now I'm looking at his thing, where it's like I can recognize his voice. I don't have a face to put to that voice, but it's like, yeah, I've heard that voice before. So yeah, he's pretty good. Yeah. Wasn't he in, like, the president's girlfriend or something?
My date with the president's girlfriend?
The movie where, like, the girl... My date with the president's daughter or something like that.
Daughter, yeah. Not the president's girlfriend. Oops.
Wouldn't that be a great movie? Yeah.
Yeah, my That's date with premise. The president's Put that down. That... girlfriend.
That would be... That's got President 3 right there.
That is.
Down the pathway.
Perfect. Okay. So for Dr. Nom Noms, I'll admit that this one is not a perfect fit. The actor would sort of be playing against character, but it's an actor I feel that needs to be in this film that's definitely going to be made. So yes, playing the part mm-hmm. of Dr. Nom Noms, I think, would be Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah, so, gosh, I'm not sure if I would put him in... he could play, like, this scary person in Cat President 2, but...
I don't know. He clearly needs to be attached to the film somewhere, so that's where I've penciled him in, but we can discuss that with our casting director, obviously.
Yeah, I feel what I would do is... I'd also, like, throw a bone for some of, like... sitcom actors or something, because if it's just voices, you don't really have to go, like, A-list celebrity, right?
That's a good point. Well, actually, so that actually helps with the person I had for Frisky.
Oh, okay.
Is a television actor. You might know him from Castle or from Firefly, Nathan Fillion.
Nathan Fillion.
You're looking him up. You have no idea who this is.
I'm looking at him up right now,
I
am not seeing anything.
Someone listening to this is like, yeah, that's awesome.
He's in Monsters University. Well, okay, I can't argue against that. I don't know what character he played.
I actually don't remember him in Monsters University, so...
I feel like he would be a better fit for the doctor type if we're just going to typecast him.
Well, we can switch those two. Maybe The Rock is Frisky and Nathan Fillion is Dr. Nom Noms.
Yeah, we can go with that, yeah.
Okay. And then Rover. Rover was really hard. Rover is like... I have no idea.
I didn't even think about that.
Right? So... Here's the direction I went with.
It's somebody who's keeping a big secret, yeah.
I went Keanu Reeves. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that would work.
I think he's... Like, Keanu's pretty hot right now. He had some stuff come out, like, in the last year. There were some memes with Keanu. I think his star has been on the rise once again. He has a new Bill and Ted movie coming out. And I think... Again, he's someone who should be mm-hmm. attached to the film. Maybe if Rover isn't the role he's most interested in, we can talk, but I think it would work. I think he would be a very good dog who's pretending to be a cat. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. I really do like the Rover storyline, especially because Rover has, like, you know, goes up an evil villain. I feel like the Rover storyline is more of a humorous storyline, if that makes sense.
Mm, yeah.
As opposed to... like you said, Thunderpaw involves a lot of angry screaming and and such. But he does get very sad at the end. He has a range, so...
One of my favorite scenes in the game is Thunderpaw on the airplane scrolling feed. like someone would look at pictures of cute animals, he's looking at pictures of cute humans on his phone. I like that scene a lot.
Because it's so out of character for him. It's great.
All right, well, I think we're running out of time, but I did have one more quick listener question I thought we could talk about, we could touch on, and save some of these other ones for next month, maybe.
Okay.
Does that sound okay to you? Or was there anyone else you wanted to cast in the film?
I wanted to cast somebody from Fuller House in the film.
Oh, okay.
Because I think that's like the only scene I've, the only show I've seen recently. And so that's what I was wondering. It's like, well, we could get sitcom actors as opposed to movie actors. I'd probably reach for there.
Okay. So we thinking like Kimmy Gibbler as the heroine, something like that?
Yeah, something like that. She could be the heroine, and I guess in the pathways where the heroine is really stupid. That'd be playing with type, wouldn't it? Because Kimmy's just, that's the joke. She's a stupid person. I don't think the actress is stupid in real life. That's not what I'm trying to say. Yeah,
it would have to be the same actress for all the pathways. Or is that like the gimmick that we do with this film? Is that it's like a different character in each pathway? Oh, man.
That would be so weird, because you'd have to combine all of the pathways. Yeah, because all those storylines are just separate. I guess unless you have, like, six different main characters, and, it'd be like six different stories all going on at once.
This goes back to what I keep saying, is that this needs to be an anime series. I think it's perfect for an anime series. Of course, if we do that, then it might be harder to get some of these A-list actors to do the voices. So
I'm sure Dwayne The Rock Johnson loves anime. So
look, I think we can get Kimmy Gibbler, though. I feel like that's like more within our like that seems more realistic to me.
That actually does. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. One more question I wanted to touch on. This one comes to us from Joe Reviewer on Twitter. What is the popular consensus on the musical/movie Cats in the Cat President universe?
I actually thought a lot about this. I feel it's like the way our universe feels about the movie/book Gone with the Wind.
Okay.
Whereas a lot of people look back on it, it's like, yes, it was this really standout, memorable film, but nobody really, it's really racist when you look at it now. I feel like if Cats were able to talk, then they'd go back and they'd point to that movie as just being super racist against cats and really, really offensive.
In this scenario, the musical Cats came out, did that come out before cats were able to talk in this universe?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's the only thing that makes sense. So I also gave this question some thought. I went in a different direction. I think that the movie/musical Cats does not exist at all in this universe, but I do think that there's an extremely really, really weird movie called Humans that the cats like to get high on catnip and watch. That's what I think.
Really? Okay, yeah.
That's what I think. Yeah. All right. I think that about does it for this month's episode. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Paul M. Franzen, and Michael is at Arglefump, spelled exactly as it sounds. You can check out all of our games on Steam or itch.io, or just visit oarock.com for the complete library. Our theme song is Dead Monster by March of the Danger Men. You can check them out on SoundCloud. And finally, if you have any questions at all about game development or our games specifically, we'd love to hear them. Email them to podcast@oarock.com. Also, email us with suggestions for a subtitle for Cat President 2, because we're not doing so great. Is there anything you would like to add, Michael?
So thanks to everybody who bought the Francie Drew this month. Thank you, thank you, and thank you.
Yes, we appreciate your business. We appreciate your patronage and support over the years. Thank you all. All right. Bye, everyone.
I'm sorry we can't do trading cards with you. Bye.
Yeah, there have been, I don't want to say that there have been months where we've made more off of trading cards than games, but there have been months where it's been close.